appreciate Brother Robert helping us with that today. And throughout the week, they're going to be videoing. Are they going to be DVDs available this week, Brother John? So there'll be DVDs available, also CDs available. And so in years past, we hadn't been able to record the messages as far as DVDs, but we'll be this year. So that's a blessing. So if you can help yourself to them. Now, 6 o'clock tonight will be the service time. Is that right? Regular 6 o'clock service. Snack Shack going to be open after the service tonight, too. And then 7 o'clock throughout the week at night. Now, tomorrow, 7 o'clock will be the only day we'll meet. Our only service we'll have then starts at 10 and 7 on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then Thursday and Friday, 10, 2, and 7. And so I encourage you to be here, if at all possible, be here. And there's plenty of food to eat. I don't think we'll get it all eat, will we? 500 pound of chicken, there's like 70 dozen eggs, 400 pound of barbecue, lots of sausage, and lots of milk, and lots of everything else. So if we don't, nothing else gets accomplished this week, we'll at least get bigger than what we were. But appreciate that. And anybody that can help during the kitchen, in the kitchen, will be a blessing. And or around the property, there'll be plenty to do. So if you want something to do this week, there'll be plenty to do, keeping everything clean and picked up and everything. So looking forward to the week, aren't you? Yeah. And you pray God will help us and God will move in the midst. Well, we need God's touch in these days. I love camp meeting, don't you? And I know it seems like it's a lot of times it's a highlight. And he said, well, nothing goes on seemingly well. One of the things that Columbus wrote in his journal, he said, we sailed on. And I believe the majority of the Christian's life is just being a consistent every single day, just being consistent in your Christian life. May not be always on the mountain, but there's a consistency there. And but then there's some highlights along the way and some high times. But most of your Christian life, you got to learn just to be consistent. You may not always be on the mountain. It may not always be in the glory all the time, but I'm glad that for the things of God that, man, he's faithful to us at all times. But if you have your Bibles this morning, John 14, and we'll give you the thought that's upon our hearts this morning. John chapter 14, if you find your place, you'll stand. We'll reverence the word of God this morning. John 14, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then look in Revelation chapter 21 for just a minute. Revelation chapter 21. The Bible says in verse number 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, or they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And look in Revelation 22. The Bible says, verse number 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves thereof of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he saith unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God, the holy prophet, sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must be done shortly, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. You can be seated. And I want to look back at our text in John chapter 14, and verse number two. This is what text verse found in verse number 2 of chapter 14. The Bible says, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And John the Beloved said in Revelation, we just read, he said, these things are faithful and true. But he said, if it were not true, I would have told you. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Then verse 3 said, If I go and prepare a place for you. And I want to preach on this thought this morning, a place called heaven. And I understand this. I don't know of any religion, I guess you could say, that does not agree with the fact that there's a heaven. Now, even the Muslims believe there's heaven. Even the Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses believe there's heaven. Now, they don't believe there's a hell. They're Bible deniers on that fact. But we know that whether they believe that or not, it's not true. Whether they believe it's true or not, there is a place called hell. But there is also a place called heaven. And I understand this. We're looking for that place. We find the Old Testament saints, the Bible says they look for a city whose builder and maker was God. And certainly our destination today is not it's to get to heaven. We're headed that way as the children of God. But I'm thinking, as we read this, almost every religion in the world agrees that there's a heaven. Now, they disagree on how to get there, but we know there's only one way to get to heaven. We'll look at that in just a minute. But many believe there's no hell. But heaven's not just a state or a condition of the mind. But I want to say heaven is a real, is a real place. And really, the only source of information that we have about heaven is the Bible. Now, I know there's been many books written. Many people have said they have died for 90 minutes and went to heaven and all that stuff. Well, you can't take what their account is into fact. But I do know this. What the Bible says about heaven is true. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Well, I want to say this morning that we can be assured of the fact that for a child of God, we are going to a place called heaven. It's a place that is prepared for us. But I want to look at this place called heaven this morning and look at some things about it. Now, it is a real place. And some would say, well, where is it? You read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 2, the Bible talks about Paul, how he was called up into the third heaven. Well, we know that there is three heavens, I guess you could say. There's a terrestrial heaven, which is the atmosphere of the earth, which we dwell in, the atmosphere of the air above us. There's a celestial heaven, the stars and the planets. And then there's a celestial heaven, and that's where God dwells. We look at where heaven is. And I'm glad this morning that we can rejoice in the fact that heaven is a real place. Now, I understand that many believe that when you die, you go and you experience soul sleep. Well, the Bible tells us opposite of that, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Let me say this, the minute some child of God dies, they go to dwell in the presence of God Almighty. They are where God is at. Well, I looked at this thought. There's a distance of heaven. We look at the reality of this place. Well, where is heaven? Well, I want to say you can't get there by an airplane, and you can't get there by a rocket ship. We must look at our solar system. Let's think about it for just a minute. There's 8 known planets in our solar system, and there's nearly anywhere from 100 to 400 billion stars that we know about. 8 planets in our immediate system between us and the sun. The sun is 93 million miles away from us. The sun beams down its light on us. It takes 8 minutes for the sun's light to get to us. That's traveling at 186,000 miles per second. The next galaxy is Andromeda Galaxy, which is 2.2 million light years away. That's traveling 186,000 miles per second. And we know that our galaxy, the Milky Way Galaxy, is 100 to 120 light years in diameter. So if you go from one end of our galaxy to the other, traveling at 186,000 miles per second, it would take you about 120 million years to get through it. That's a big expanse of our Milky Way. That's not including that what we don't even know about, brother. And we don't even know all that's out there. And you say, well, heaven is a long way away. It's a distant. Well, I don't think it's as far away as you think it is. The reason being is because when Jacob laid on the ground there in Genesis, and he laid asleep at night, the Bible says there was a ladder that reached from heaven on the earth. You say, I can't believe there's a ladder that reaches from the earth down to heaven. Oh, yeah, there is. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He can get you there in just a split second, brother. I want to say when Daniel was in the lion's den, and God dispatched those angels to his rescue from heaven. I mean, brother, they were there in an instant. I'm glad we don't have to wait on AT&T and Sprint and Verizon and all them to get our message across. I'm glad heaven is closer than what we think. It ain't far away. You say, man, if it was in that far away, we'd never get there. Well, I want to say this. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're going there. Heaven is a place of its distance. What's the distance of it? I don't know where it's at. We know hell's in the heart of the earth. As far as heaven is, I just know this, and it really ain't important exactly geographically where heaven is. But what makes a difference in it is if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to get you there no matter where it is. He's going to get you there. There's a distance of heaven. There's the dimensions of heaven. We look there. Now, the Bible tells us in Revelation that it's a city of 12,000 furlongs. It's 12,000 furlongs high. It's 12,000 furlongs wide, and it's 12,000 furlongs deep. And so that dimensions of it, just to put that a little bit in perspective to you, when you look at the New York City, and I guess it's probably one of the biggest cities in this country, but New York City is 400 furlongs. What I'm trying to say is 12,000 furlongs, if you convert that into miles, heaven is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. How you read in Revelation how the Bible says the height is the same as the breadth and the width of it. So it's a city 1,500 miles. It's 1,500 miles high. Now that's high, brother. 1,500 miles wide is a wide thing. That's from like going here to past San Antonio, Texas, and then on up to the Canadian border, a little further piece past that. And then you talk about 1,500 miles high. You realize this, that a jet airplane only flies at 7 or 8 miles in the sky. That's 35,000 feet. If you were standing a mile away from that city, you'd never see the top. You might see it at 10 miles away. I don't know. But I'm talking about 1,500 miles up in the sky, brother. How high heaven is. That's how big a city it is. It's 12,000 furlongs. Now, I thought about this, and I'm a builder by trade, and I think about things a lot. How the Bible says the city has 12 foundations. It is possible that city is divided into 12 stories each. I'm not being dogmatic on that, but it's possible that it is. It's possible that each story would be 12 foot each. And it's possible that it does have levels and stories, it being 1,500 miles square. 1,500 miles high, it possibly could. If it had, each one was divided into 12 stories, and it may be bigger than that, maybe smaller, I don't know. But I'm just saying it's a possibility. There could be 600,000 stories in this city. And it is a possibility that it could be 2,250,000 square miles of floor space. And we read about heaven, and there's a lot to be said about it. There's much more to be said about how to get there. And I believe that's the most important thing that you look at. But the description of heaven, what's it like? Well, the Bible tells us that the gates of are 200, the wall, the thickness of the wall is 216 foot thick. That's pretty thick, ain't it? And then the Bible says there's 12 gates, and they're gates of pearl. If you take the gates and you measure them out and you build your gates to the dimensions of the thickness of the wall, each gate's about 100 miles wide. One of the songwriters said, swing wide the gates, I'm coming home. Hey, brother, there's 50 miles of elbow room on each side for you to get into heaven. Thank God. You ain't going to have no problem getting in if you're saved by the good grace of God. The gates of heaven will be open to you. And so we're told here in the Word of God, it's 216 feet thick. We look here, the gates of solid pearl. And we look at how the Bible tells us that not only that, but the streets are pure gold. There's a river of life running out from the throne of God. There's a tree of life in the midst. I'm talking about, brother, it's a celestial city. They built more houses or all the palaces in the world. They don't have anything to compare on this place called heaven. Thank God, I'm glad it is a real place. It is a real place. It's not just a figment of somebody's imagination. How it's that drawn up. It took the Lord Jesus 7 days now, or rather 6 days, he created the earth. But he said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, I'm going. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. It took him 6 days, but he said, he's been gone now for about 2,000, a little over 2,000 years. And he said, and I go to prepare a place for you. He said, I will come again. You say, when's he coming back? I'll say this, when our place is ready, when he's prepared that place for us, he'll come back for us. I mean, can you imagine all the artistic beauties of the Lord Jesus? I mean, my mind can't even fathom right now the beauties of heaven and all that God has prepared for us. It's a place of majestic beauty that our minds can't even imagine, and that we can't even comprehend or think about. We've got no comprehension about it. One of these days, I promise you, we are going there. It's a majestic place. Thank God it's a real place. Don't let the world tell you there's no such thing as heaven. And you go to dust when you die. I'm glad all those atheists and those agnostics and those all those humanists are absolutely wrong. They're 100% wrong. But I'm glad this Bible's right when it talks about a place called heaven. It's right. There's a place called heaven. It's a real place. I'm glad of that. It's a real place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. There's a description of heaven. Walls clear jasper. The city's pure gold. The foundations of jasper. That jasper is a clear stone. He talks about the sapphire. I'm talking about it's a colorful city now. The foundation of jasper, which is clear, 12 foundations. The sapphire is clear blue. The chalcedony is yellow green. The emerald is deep green. The sardonyx is white with layers of red in it. The sardius is fierce red. The chrysolite is golden yellow. The beryl is sea green. The topaz is greenish and yellow. The chrysopasis is golden green. The jacinth is purple. And the amethyst is purple. I'm talking about, brother, it's a colorful city. The white streets of gold, transparent. I'm talking about folks. I'll tell you what the main attraction of heaven is going to be. Is beholding the glorified Lamb, the Son of God, that gave himself for us. But I say heaven is a real place. Heaven is a residential place. I thought about who is there. Who's there? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I'm going to tell you who's going to be there. People's going to be there. But one of the best things about heaven is not who is there, but what is not there. That's right. People are there. It's a safe place. There's no locks on the doors and windows. There's no alarm systems. There's no security cameras. There's no smoke detectors. There's no thieves. There's no robbers. There's no devil. There's no sin. The flowers never lose their fragrance, sir. The trees never lose their leaves. That's right. The fruit never ceases to bear. Hey, in its due season, thank God there's no grass that ever turns gray or brown, but it always stays green. There's no hurricanes. There's no tornadoes. There's no earthquakes. There's no storms. There's no clouds that ever darken the sky. There's no cemeteries. There's no caskets there. There's no hospitals. There's no nursing homes. That's right. There's no doctor offices there. There's no emergency rooms. There's no drug stores. There's no jails. No one will ever be crippled there. Hey, man, Vincent, you'll be able to walk right one day and run. We're going to watch you skip across the hills of glory one day in your new body. Thank God there's no cripples there. There's no crippled people there. You'll never hear the words heart attack. The cancer's not even in the vocabulary there in heaven. Heart attacks are never in the vocabulary there. Alzheimer and dementia, you'll never hear those words ever again. That's right. No one's deformed or lame or sick. That's right. They've got no authority there. There's no dentures. There's no hearing aids. There's no eyeglasses. There's no wheelchairs. There's no canes. There's no crutches. There's no leg braces. There's no autism. There's no Alzheimer's, no dementia. There's no Parkinson's disease. There's no diabetes. Our loved ones will be there. Right. Amen. Thank God for a place called heaven. Thank God. Amen. The last time I saw my mother, that was 13 years ago. On her deathbed, 14 years ago rather. On her deathbed, and I saw how the cancer had heat her body. The last time I saw her, her body was ravaged with pain and it was ravaged with cancer. But not anymore, thank God. And well, the next time I see her, oh, blessed be God, the next time I see her, and she'll be made new. I saw my mother-in-law almost a year ago. I died of cancer the same way. I saw her laying there in that bed and take her last breath. I'm going to tell you that we took her to the, me and my uncle, Gary, we took her to the funeral home, and she was yellow because of her liver cancer, and the liver had shut down, and her body was just as yellow as could be. They took her to that funeral home. They did the best they could to dress her up, and still they couldn't make her look right. Oh, but blessed be God, one of these days we see her again. There'll be no more blemishes and there'll be no more tarnishes on her body. But thank God, there'll be a new body. Hey, let me tell you this, friend. Every one of you that's lost loved ones, had loved ones go on to glory. Let me tell you what, you may have seen them in their dying state. You may have seen them in their worst condition. But thank God, one of these days, the next time you see them, the next time you lay eyes on them, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be all brand new. It's going to be all good, thank God. Amen. Thank God for a place called heaven. It's a residential place. I'm going to tell you, there'll be no more sorrow, no more sadness. That's right. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more phone calls to bear the bad news and to bear the terrible news that somebody has died or taken away from us. There'll never be any more. You'll never have to listen to another negative doctor report. Hey, man, thank God. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go to hell? That you're saved by the grace of God. You're going to heaven and everything's going to be all right. Thank God. Hey, man, thank God for the child of God that has a place and has a dwelling place called heaven. I thank God for that this morning. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. But thanks be to God for the healing virtue that comes through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and going to give us a new body. As the old songwriter said, I'll have a new home, a love eternal, how the redeemed of God to stand. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. That's going to happen one day, friend. It's a reality that we're going there. It's a reality that we're going to go to that place called heaven. That's right. Yes, sir. It's a reality. It's a residential place. All the saints of God are going to be there. That's right. Yes, sir. Look with me here. Psalm 33 and verse 13. Psalm 33, verse 13, the Bible tells us, the Lord looketh from heaven. Who else is in heaven? Not only our loved ones, but the Lord's in heaven. Yeah, the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. You remember when Jesus was being taken up into heaven, and he was being taken up, and those men stood by there. The Bible says in verse number 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, that's where he went to. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said to you, men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. He said, as you have seen him go into heaven, he said, the same Jesus you're looking after that's gone up into heaven in the cloud, he's going to come back one day. No wonder he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's right. He's coming again, thank God. Amen. And we are going there. He said, ye men, why stand you here gazing up in heaven? That's right. He made that statement. Not only is the Lord in heaven and Jesus is in heaven, but in Philippians chapter 3, that's right, Philippians chapter 3, let me read you a verse of scripture here. Verse number 20. Bible says, for our conversation is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we watching and waiting for him to come back. Yes, sir, we are. Just as those men of Galilee stood there gazing up, I believe it ought to be in a Christian's best interest to wait and look for the coming of the Lord Jesus. He said, for our conversation, our citizenship, our place is in heaven, from which also we look for the Lord, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says here, verse number 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the work whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. He said, I'm going to make you just like me. He'll be fashioned like unto his glorious body. But tell you what, you may be ravaged today, and your body may be wrinkled, and you may be getting old, but one of these days you're going to skip like a roe on the streets of glory, and you're going to run like a panther, run like a tiger, and on the hills of glory, thank God, because the Lord Jesus said it would be so. I'm glad of that tonight, thank God. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm 42, almost 42, and that kind of preaching didn't mean a whole lot to me when I was younger because I just didn't understand. See, the older you get, the more you've got on that side, and the more you see cross on over on that side. We went to Brother Ray Aiken's funeral last Wednesday, and he wrote that song, the Sights, Sensations, and Sounds, but all about heaven. He liked to preach about heaven, liked to talk about heaven. Well, now I'll tell you, his faith turned aside. I tell you, Paul, your daddy preached about heaven for years. His faith turned aside, Brother Britt. All you others, your grandmothers and your grandpas and your grandmas. And boy, I remember my grandpa, Papa Kirkendall, my dad's daddy. I mean, he talked about him all those years. Now he's getting to behold that glorious place. I thank God it's not a fiction. It's not folklore, but brother, it's a real thing. There's a place called heaven one of these days. We're going there. Barbara, you buried your mother last year. You'll get to see her again. She won't have the pain and anguish that she once did. Aren't you glad of that? Some of you here today, you're wearied with pain in your body.
I say this, you can rejoice in the fact how that one of these days you're going to shed that mortal body. How you're going to shed that robe of flesh. How you're going to shed it off and be given a glorified body. And my friend, you'll be able to do things you ain't never done before. Well, we see who's there. It's the reality of it. It's a real place. It's a residential place. That's right. But I want to say this, it's a reserved place. Not everybody gets to go there. Not everybody's going to heaven. He told him in John chapter 14, look, he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, listen, I don't understand. Don't understand for the life of me why somebody would reject the gospel and want to go to hell and not go to heaven. I do not understand that. Brother, I want to tell you, the reason I got saved, the day I got saved as a 5-year-old boy, the reason I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. That's the reason I got saved. I didn't want to spend eternity in the lake of fire. I didn't want to die and go to hell. That's the reason I got born again, because God dealt with me and I didn't want to go to hell and spend eternity there. But I didn't realize all I was getting when I got saved. I just knew I didn't want to go to hell. But God gave me a home in heaven. God gave me a place. God gave me a place that He prepared for me. That's right, because I got saved by the grace of God. Now I'm going to heaven. It's a reserved place. It is a reserved place. Not everybody's going there. Everybody dies, don't go to heaven. Most people choose the broad road. They choose the wide gate. There's a narrow road and there's a narrow gate right now. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. And the Bible tells us, and Thomas saith unto him in that same scripture, if you look there in John 14, he said, Lord, he said, we know not where thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I want to tell you, there's one way to heaven. And it ain't on an airplane. It ain't by church membership. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way you're going to get there. The Bible said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know how to get there by ourselves. We don't know how to go there. We don't know the way. Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we find in this scripture, there's a place called heaven. It's a real place. It's a residential place. That's right. Thought about this. There'll be those of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation will be there. I mean, there'll be black, yellow, and white. I mean, all kind of people will be there. They'll be young that accepted God. I mean, there'll be those from every walk of life. There'll be those that you thought, man, their life is in ruin, but God saved them. They'll be there. It ain't because anything they've done or anything they've accomplished, but because of one sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. It is a reserved place. It's reserved for an exclusive people. So how can I get there? Well, let me tell you what you do. You want to go to heaven? I hope you do. I don't know anybody in their right mind that wants to go to hell. I don't know anybody in their right frame of mind that would even want to go to hell. I'm going to tell you, but I say this, I believe everybody wants to go to heaven, but they want to go many ways. I would say everybody here this morning, if I'd asked you the question, do you want to go to heaven, you'd answer yes. But I want to say there's only one way you're going to get there. Jesus saith, I am the way. Without Him, He's the way. Without Him, there's no going. You ain't going to go there without Him. Because see, heaven's reserved for a perfect people. It's reserved for a people that is perfected. The perfect. Only perfect people can go to heaven. That's right. Only perfect people go to heaven. You hear me? Only perfect people go to heaven. So, preacher, what kind of categories that puts you in? I'll tell you what that does for me. Not nothing. It don't help me at all. But it ain't my perfection. Because I'm not perfect enough to go to heaven. But I tell you, He has made me perfect. And he's made me acceptable in the beloved. I'm not perfect within myself, but I tell you what, his righteousness has been imputed and put on my account. And when God looks at me, he don't look at my sin and my transgression, but he looks at the blood, looks at the sacrifice, and sees that the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed on my account. And you know what that makes me? That makes me happy because I realize it's not nothing that I've done, but it's all him. He's how I'm going to get there. I'm going on his account. I'm going because he said I could. I'm going because he saved me. He redeemed me. He washed me in his blood. He forgave me of my sin. That's the only way I'm going. He's the way. He's the truth. What he says is true. I said before, many people are going to disagree on how to get there. He said there's only one truth. Without him, there's no knowing. Many think one day they're going to wake up in heaven. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a sad reality for them when they open their eyes up in hell. But I'm glad for the child of God. Death is not the extinguishment of the light, but it's the dawning of a new day. Amen. One little fellow put it like this. He's getting ready to die. Young fellow and his mother watching him die. And he said, Mother, he said, it's getting so bright that I need to close my eyes now. And he closed his eyes and died and went to heaven. Amen. I thought about those Sunday school teachers that taught at D.L. Moody's church. Had three children die of diphtheria. And they'd teach Sunday school faithfully and serene and calm. They'd teach about the goodness of God. And people would leave the church saying, I don't know how they do it. And one little boy, he heard his daddy ask that question. The little boy said, he looked up his daddy and he said, they really believe what they teach, don't they, Daddy? I'm going to tell you, it's a reality. He's the truth. He's also the life. Let me say this. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So what are we talking about? Well, I want to say this. When you die, when you close your eyes in death, well, your life has really, in essence, has just begun. Eternity, forever. You'll never close your eyes again, amen, in death. It'll never happen. I'm glad he's alive. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm glad heaven is a reality. Heaven is a residential place, but heaven is a reserved place. Only those who are saved, who's believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how close is heaven? How close is it? How far away is it? Well, Romans tells us. When Paul wrote the book of Romans, he said this. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 8. He said, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let me say this. You don't have to wait 2 million light years after you've died to get to heaven. The word is nigh thee. Heaven's closer than you think. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The minute you close your eyes in death, you're going to be in the presence of God. That's a promise. That's a reality. And I'm glad of that this morning. Let's all stand.